The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is probably Friday, October 29th. If you are listening to this podcast, if you are watching with us live on YouTube, and I'm not sure if you're aware, but we do have a live YouTube show for every Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday night recap, and Thursday at 1 p.m., we do picks live on YouTube, and now, recently added, Tuesday at 1 p.m., the one, the only, Ryan Wilson, hosting an NFL draft mock, or NFL mock draft show, Tuesday, 1 p.m., live, YouTube exclusive. So, if you're listening, throw us a bone, go to YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, hit the subscribe button, press the little bell button, you'll get alerts when we go live, or if you are currently watching on YouTube, press the like button. If we get to a certain number of likes, Debo will authorize a giveaway. If it were up to me, I would just give stuff away, but it's not up to me. Debo in charge. So we may give away a pint glass. Why don't we have a Debo? Why don't we have a tiered giveaway system tonight? Pint glass. Pint glass.
Can I win that?
No,
yeah.
You're not eligible, nor is your child or your wife. Please don't ask again. Joining me to break down the game, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey, and hey. Breach and I missed out. We both had the Cardinals winning that game and covering. We both got slapped around. And as has been the case, Breach, the last three Thursday nights, Brinson has been, he's victorious. He's 3-0.
Well, that didn't bode well for my Sunday picks.
Yeah, it's a good start for us. It's a good start for you for now.
Both weeks, I was like, man, yeah, I hit the Thursday night game. I had to get loose.
And shout out to Jason Lockenfora, who was the only one who took the Packers straight up.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't do that.
By the way, coming into this game, I was 6-0-1 picking Packers games this season. Unbelievable.
This is my favorite subplot of 2020.
Subtweet of the Pick Six podcast.
Subplot. Like, Wilson has never, I've worked with you for 15 years. You have never cared about your spread record. Zero cares about your spread record. Nor, like, if somebody mentioned it, you're like, whatever. Now you're doing deep dives into what your record is on Packers games.
That's because someone tweeted that place always that tweets when I'm in first place every week. They tweeted that out before the game. Okay, that's the only reason I know that.
Or Wilson literally has a chalkboard, 32 chalkboards in his basement where he documents each time he gets a point spread pick right for each team.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
That's my
theory. That wouldn't be surprising at this point, to be perfectly honest. So
you just went for the Packers, though.
The Green Bay Packers, and by the way, we'll on these Thursday night, Monday night, and maybe Sunday night games, we will go live early if the game is good and it's enjoyable at the end. So if you're, you know, again, that's why you turn on alerts. You can come hang with us before the game ends. Then we do the show, and then we'll do a little overtime afterwards, depending on you know, if we got interest in the chat for that or not. But this game ended. Green Bay Packers 24, Arizona Cardinals 21. The Cardinals fall to 7-1. There are no more undefeated teams left in the NFL. Yikes. Week 8.
That's a pretty good run.
Oh, yeah. 7-0 is pretty good. Would not have pegged the Cardinals. You probably made some money if you picked the Cardinals to do that. The Green Bay Packers moved to 7-1 as well. And I believe that would – that is right, isn't it?
Yep.
I didn't update their standings that quickly.
We're both 7-1.
I know. Yeah. So Green Bay now the number one seed in the NFC. Arizona the 2 seed. Tampa, the 3 seed at 6-1. Dallas, the 4 seed at 5-1. The Rams, the 5 seed at 6-1. Clearly, that stuff can change as we go into Sunday's action and then out of that. But, this is a huge win for the Packers, bottom line. I think it's an obvious takeaway. They lost Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, their 1 and 2 wide receivers, to COVID issues. Aaron Rodgers now moves since the start of 2019 to 7-0. When he doesn't play with Davante Adams, which is really impressive because Davante Adams is arguably the best wide receiver in football, but probably a top three or top, I mean, certainly a top 5 wide receiver.
Number 2 behind Jamar Chase.
Maybe. And we got this amazing, it's, you know, I hear that people in art circles and professional ink circles are calling this surprised Ryan Finley. This photo of Aaron Rodgers lying on his side.
I'll be honest with you. I saw this picture and I said, now that's something I wouldn't mind having on my arm. But again, we're still waiting for Breach. Oh, by the way, shout out to our buddy. Who tweeted that at us? Let me see real quick. You can keep talking. I'll find it.
Okay. Am I supposed to keep talking?
Yeah, keep talking.
Okay. Yeah, like Wilson was saying, shocked Aaron Rodgers. I thought that Rodgers was, you could tell how much this game meant to him. I thought because of the way that he was reacting when various receivers were not making plays. And by various receivers, I mean Amari Rodgers and Winfrey, Jalen Winfrey, maybe?
Sure. I thought he played pretty well, having never heard of him prior to 8 p.m. tonight.
For sure. But my point is that those two guys had played 39 snaps combined coming into this game in their NFL careers. Rodgers is a rookie, and he has all 39 offensive snaps. Winfrey, I don't think he played an offensive snap in his career. And they were out on the field on Thursday Night Football against an undefeated team playing with Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers was like doing the,
you know, he was big time in him.
Yeah. Look, he knows what he's doing. He's a good quarterback. Aaron Jones ended up being the leading receiver. Cash that prop, baby. Moved from 35.5 up to 44.5. Still covered. He got 51 yards. Honestly, you look at the Packers and not really an impressive offensive output. A.J. Dillon, the leading rusher, 16 carries, 78 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 37, 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. They got some beneficial field position. And I think you have to credit the offensive. I think if I was giving credit for this win to various Packers position groups, number one would be the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be the offensive line. And number three would be the running backs, because the offensive line blocked well. The running backs fought hard.
Number four would be the secondary.
Yeah, for sure. The defense played awesome for the Packers. The running backs fought for extra yards, and the defensive line with Kyler Murray dealing with a third string center really, really got after the presumptive MVP favorite, who probably is no longer in that discussion. Really, he's in the top five, but still.
He's in the discussion, but yeah, no, I think that's right. Here's my takeaway. I think you hit all the high points, and I think that's correct. Huge win for the Packers. My Super Bowl hopes are still alive, Packers versus Bills. But we, going forward, cannot make any more excuses for teams that have injuries.
Sure. I'm laughing at a YouTube comment. They just found out what Breach looks like.
For those listening on their earphones, Jake Benninger leaves in the comments, holy ish, first time tuning into the YouTube video, and this is not what I expected Breach to look like. Fair enough.
That sounds like something Sean Wagner McGuff would say.
Yeah. But I think if you're not without Davante Adams and Alan Lazard and Jair Alexander's on IR, Kevin King's not out there, and you have Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones and a guy named Winfrey who's never played before, Amari Rodgers who hasn't played very often, defensive backs Rasul Douglas who's making plays at the end of the game, I don't think you can make excuses for any other team who has injuries. Because to go into Arizona and beat that team that was undefeated and had a high-powered offense and a really good defense and beat them in the way they did, and it wasn't pretty, I think you're right, Brinson, but the time of possession was 37-35 to 22-25 in favor of the Packers. They took advantage of 2 turnovers. That Rondale Moore punt muff, I don't know what he knew he touched the ball. So they got the ball down to the 1. Did they end up scoring? Or they touchdown or did they kick a field goal?
Field goal.
They kicked a field goal.
Ugh. But still, yeah. they took advantage of the turnovers when they had the opportunities, and all the credit to them. All the credit to what the Packers were able to accomplish.
Well, Rondale Moore, first of all, might have had the worst game of anyone all year. Not only did he have the muff punt that led to the field goal, didn't the ball bounce off his hands on Kyler Murray's first interception?
That was a tough throw, wasn't it?
No, I mean, it went through the top of his hands and the Packers intercept. I mean,
he's 5'8".
It was Rondale Moore's fault.
It was like someone had Rondale Moore higher on the draft board.
No, I mean, it was his fault that ball got intercepted. And then after that happened, you had that was the opening possession of the first half. The Packers turned around and drove 14 yards for a touchdown off of that interception. So you look at those.
I love the fact you said they drove 14 yards for a touchdown.
Well, I am
all being forward 14 yards for a touchdown.
Yes, I'm being facetious. I'm saying that Rondale Moore basically gave the Packers a touchdown because they only had to drive 14 yards to get a score. So his two turnovers gave Green Bay 10 points. And so when you talk about a go to the game, I think it has to be him. But, you know, you're talking about the Packers here. And I mean, this, you can't overstate how big of a win this, Aaron Rodgers just kind of willing this team to a win. And the fact that, like, this team played hardball with Rodgers over the summer looks so absurd now, because there's no other quarterback in the NFL that would have won with 80% of their receiving cast missing. I mean, that's just it. Like, Rodgers was just putting every ball where he needed to, running that offense efficiently. And I really think you can count on three fingers, maybe, the number of quarterbacks that could have won this game in that situation. Like, this was just a bonkers performance. And Brinson, I know you were saying the Packers offense didn't do much, but what they did do, they had three drives in this game that went over 6.5 minutes.
Yep.
And that, you know, that's the key right there. I think those three drives went for a total of over 20 minutes when you combine all three of them. And that's just on three offensive drives. And so
Breach, those three drives were almost as much time possession as the Cardinals had all night, 22 minutes.
Exactly. And so now the Cardinals aren't on the field. They can't score points. Boom. I mean, this was just a brilliant game plan. And
CBS Sports HQ with myself and John Breach on Thursday afternoon, and you should do that because, you know, we're trying to put money in your pocket or whatever we say. And Breach was like, Brinson is on the over? Classic Brinson. Oh, no, Brinson's on the under. Classic Brinson. I'm on the over here. I said, no, the Packers are the slowest paced team in all of professional football. I am on the under. Mm. That under doesn't hit with not for those three drives. When they get Rodgers gets that clock down under 5 seconds on every single play.
I mean, I don't know if I'm bragging about betting the under here. The Packers literally got stopped at the 1 yard line with 2 minutes left. And then AJ Green doesn't understand that you're supposed to turn around when a pass is thrown to you.
What is he doing? What is he doing?
Did the under hit or the overhit?
I mean, the under hit. All right. Just not one I would brag about.
Doesn't matter how you get there.
I'll brag about any win. I don't care. At this point, I'll brag about any win.
By the way, we'll see. We'll continue to test this theory of playing with guys.
It's Korean baseball overnight. You're going to hear about it tomorrow.
Maybe that's your niche, Korean baseball. I think Robert Tonyan may be out for a while, too. That's also another concern because he jacked up his knee and didn't look good.
A couple of different injuries. Robert Tonyan and Chase Edmonds both looked like they were hurt. And Kyler Murray, by the way, appeared to be, you know, limping off the field and, you know, also dealt with dealing with a shoulder injury.
He ran a lot, much more than we'd seen him run all season. He still only ran for 21 yards, but he had six, quote-unquote, carries. And, you know, early in the game, he ran the ball. And Troy Aikman was like, yeah, he's really protecting himself. It looked like he took a hit square in the kidneys. And that was early in the game. And he already had his finger taped up, his pinky finger in his throwing hand. I think that probably affected the way he threw the ball because he missed Christian Kirk down the field on what should have been probably a touchdown. He overthrew some guys, although he made an. I tell you what, that route that Trey Hopkins ran in the first quarter against Eric Stokes ran a 4.2 something at the combine.
Spun around.
I've never seen a guy do a double move with the ball in the air, and that's exactly what Trey Hopkins did before he was unceremoniously flagged for face mask. Come on, you can't call.
Well, I mean, it's crazy.
Wilson was complaining about the face mask because he picked the
He was already in the end zone. Come on.
Oh my God, you're ridiculous.
Well, Hopkins caught that. It was a 55-yard catch. That was 56% of the Cardinals' yardage in the entire first half was that one play. That tells you they didn't do anything after that touchdown. They only had 98 total yards, and 55 of it came on that play. So
the Packers defense somehow got it. It doesn't make sense to me. Joe Barry, the defense coordinator, he was out with COVID, so they had other guys helping. But the we just talked, the secondary played well. As Brinson mentioned, the front four played well. We hadn't seen that all year. Let me see. The Packers defense was 24th, according to Football Outsiders, coming into that. The Cardinals defense was second. And the Cardinals defense looked like it had never seen a running back or how to tackle one.
J.J. Watt, I tried to say this on HQ earlier on Thursdays.
I don't know.
J.J. Watt matters for the run, for stopping the run.
I guess, but I mean,
dude, he's playing good football.
I know, but they had Chandler Jones. They got
Chandler Jones is not like an elite run stuffer. I
mean, he's back, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm just saying, J.J. Watt, the way J.J. Watt plays, he is, even if he's not putting up big numbers and making eye popping, you know, interceptions of Andy Dalton in playoff games, he is a guy that can really step up and help stop the run. He's good.
They look worse than the Packers defense had ever looked at all this season. That's what was troubling.
Well, and I mean, but knocking the Cardinals defense isn't necessarily fair because the Packers got 10 points on two combined drives where they drove 14 yards. So,
but they struggled to stop the run.
Like, I mean, in the middle of the field. It wasn't great. It definitely wasn't great, but they scored 24 points and 10 of them were gifted by Rondale Moore. So
I'm not worried so much about the score, but just the eyeball test of watching them struggle to get off the field.
I thought that the Cardinals offense really struggled after DeAndre Hopkins left the game. I think he got injured, hamstring injury with about 8 minutes left in the first quarter. And I don't think he came back until the fourth quarter. And coincidentally, when he was out in the second and third quarters, the Cardinals basically did nothing. So maybe, you know, that's the guy Kyler looks to when he's in trouble. That's his favorite target. And you take him out of the equation, and all of a sudden it looked like he didn't know what to do when Hopkins was out.
Well, one of his receivers doesn't even turn around with the ball thrown his way. So I could understand why he would be wanting Hopkins out there.
Well, I mean, one of the things I was sort of thinking about, and I was trying to find a way to tweet it, but it just didn't look like it wouldn't give me a good tweet, but not the way to talk about it on here. You know, we forget like how fragile NFL rosters are. You know, when we look at the Cardinals, we're like, man, yeah, this team has Rondale Moore as their fifth or sixth option. This is a loaded roster. And then all of a sudden DeAndre Hopkins goes down. And if your wide receivers are AJ Green, Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore.
And right. Zach Ertz actually played. He's four targets, four catches. I mean,
that's a above average, good pass catching core.
Yeah, but really good.
All I'm saying is if you take Hopkins out, all of a sudden this becomes kind of a,
B. It's a B.
B. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but it's not undefeated, you know, trying to be number one seed in the NFC.
You mentioned, it's funny, you mentioned this on when we were on HQ on Wednesday, like the lack of Larry Fitz maybe opens things up for these guys. I wonder if Kyler wanted Larry Fitzgerald out there once Trey Hopkins went out, because at least he's a reliable guy that you know is going to catch the ball and he's going to be where he's going to be. He might even turn around for passes that you throw to him.
Yeah, he's old. He's got a serious show. They didn't want him there.
All right.
I don't know. He's probably not going to muff a punt.
It's not
causing an interception.
Rondale Moore's a rookie. Settle down. They like Rondale Moore.
Just those are rough mistakes. Can't have those when you're playing a team that's...
What's worse, making physical mistakes or not turning around for a football that's thrown to you? You've been in the league for 20 years.
I would say the second one. Right. I can't believe AJ Green. I can't wait to hear the explanation. We don't know what the explanation is right now, whether he didn't know the play call or he just didn't turn around. But this final play of the game, the Cardinals called a timeout. So they literally had a timeout to talk over what they were going to do. Kyler Murray throws a pass to AJ Green, who never turns around. His back is to the ball. And was it Russell Douglas? Who was that?
Yeah, Russell Douglas. You got it.
Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the end of game situations.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. So, two possible questions about the end of the game. One, which we discussed on the pregame or the pre-show live stream, which you guys berated me on, because Wilson can't imagine that I would have any concept of game theory. The Packers have four, so they have third and goal at the 1 yard line. After Aaron Jones is, they think they scored. The game's probably over. They rule that it's not a touchdown. They get a false start. They back it up third and six. Aaron Rodgers runs it. Gets tackled just short, a yard short. There's fourth and one at the goal. They go for it on fourth and one, and they don't get it. The debate amongst us was, do you kick to go up six, or do you go for it to go up 10? My assertion.
Oh,
if you don't mind.
5 cent word.
What's that?
Is that a 5 cent word? Go ahead.
Is that if you go for it, you're up 10 and the game is probably over at that point. It's effectively over at that point. And the other thing about that is, if you go for it and don't get it, it brings into play for Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals the possibility that they would kick a field goal instead. Like, they're not going to force themselves to go for a touchdown. If they're down six, there's only one outcome. Either they don't score, either they score or they don't score. And that's sort of my argument is, you can, I'm not saying he's like luring him into a honey pot of kicking a field goal. I'm just saying, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you know in the back of your head that you can kick a field goal, and you may be less aggressive pushing the ball down the field once you cross midfield and get into field goal range. And that's what I was trying to say in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
So how do we assess what they did on fourth down there? I mean, you could do third. The delay of game on third and one is really bad.
Like, we're talking. I thought you meant the Packers first. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's borderline unacceptable. And then fourth down, the ball was batted down at the line, or, you know, in the backfield or whatever. I'm fine with them going for it. Breach and I both were fine with them going for it, because you still, I mean, you go up a field goal and then what? Or you go up 6 points, you allow them to come down there and score the game-winning touchdown, which we'll get to in a second. They had a chance to do.
For sure.
Yeah, all I said was, it's not crazy to kick the field goal, but obviously if you score the touchdown, the game's over, and that's what you want. You want to be, and you have to go 1 yard to end the game. As a head coach, I think my only concern would have been that my quarterback just got rocked. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, third and goal from the five, scrambles, tries to get in the end zone, and he gets rocked by at least three guys. I mean, he got jacked up. He was a little woozy getting up, and it was like, there's no timeouts. There's no time for him to recover. He has 40 seconds to run the next play. And so your banged up quarterback has to like kind of digest everything. And Aaron Rodgers, obviously one of the best in the game, but he didn't look like he was maybe 100% for that play. And so that would have been my only concern as the coach. But yeah, I mean, just the delay of game. Prisco's complaining about the Packers and the game there. I'm sure that's what he's complaining about, because you can't have the delay of game. That's inexcusable. They had third and goal at the 1 yard line, got delay of game. Now they're at third and goal at the six or five and a half or whatever it was. And then on fourth and one, or fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, Rodgers ended up throwing an incomplete pass to his boy Randall Cobb, who had a huge game with two touchdowns, but did not get a third one. And that is where, I mean, that was the start of the drama. That fourth and one play, it was like, oh my God, Rodgers is going to throw the pass, even though he got crushed in the last play, incomplete. And now Arizona has it, and they only need a field goal.
Did also on third and two, let's see, on second, this is with about 7 minutes left in the game, this started. On second and six at the Arizona 40 with Green Bay up 3 points, Aaron Rodgers hits Winfrey for 4 yards. He that's when he fumbled it, but like maybe secretly kicked it out of bounds. Like he was like kind of flopping at it, and it ended up going out of bounds. He got lucky, because that would have been a touchdown for the Packers if he hadn't fumbled. Might have been a touchdown for
the ball had missed
the other way for the Cardinals if it stays in bounds.
Right.
They get up to the line of scrimmage with 6:29 remaining. Don't run a play and call a timeout, which, you know, like whatever. Make sure you get your plays in.
That's their last timeout, I believe. Is that right?
No. That's the second timeout. Then the next play is a third and two. Aaron Jones runs up the middle to the Arizona 28 for 8 yards. They run the clock down again at 5:41, call a timeout. That's where you sort of lose me on this timeout usage. Because you pick up the third down, you need to, like, have that first down play. Even if it's just, you're just running Aaron Jones or AJ Dillon up the middle on that first down. That's, and they ended up doing that after the timeout, and Aaron Jones got 16 yards, and that's great. And you say, like, all right, you know, you use the timeout, but those timeouts could have been used when they were closer to the goal line to make sure they didn't get a delay a game. It's almost like they were being, and this is good. You know, I realize you can, you know, say don't brag about the under or whatever breach, but this goes back to they are so methodical normally. And I think they were being extra methodical because they didn't have Davante Adams or Alan Lazard and knew that if they shrunk the game and forced Kyler Murray to sort of press, they might be able to steal one here. And they did just that. But
I think it's still fair to ask what the hell's going on with the timeout usage.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think that in that situation, because Aaron Rodgers called that one, and it was almost like he was saving Matt LaFleur from himself, because so you have a 3rd and 2. If you take the delay game there and you don't call the timeout, it's 3rd and 7. And say you only get 1 or 2 yards next play or throw an incomplete pass. Now you've put your coach in a situation where it's 4th and 7. Does he try a 57-yard field goal, or do you go for it on 4th and 7, or do you punt from, I think that would have been from the Cardinals 40-yard line. So, like, it would have been a very dicey situation. Rodgers is smart. I'm going to use my timeout. We're not moving back 5 yards from here. We're going to fix this on 3rd and 2. Because from the Cardinals 40-yard line, 4th and 7, what do you think the Packers are doing? Punt, field goal, or go for it?
Well, that actually leads me to my question that I ask often. Do we know if Matt LaFleur is a good coach? Like, I have no idea.
I mean, he had... I don't think it's fair to suggest that Matt LaFleur is a bad coach because he's a good coach. Now I think 33-7 to That's start right. his career in 3 years, which is
he's ahead of Don Shula, Chuck Knox, and George Seifert to start his career.
Probably ahead of, I mean, is there anybody he's not ahead of?
No, he's number one.
I mean, look, it's like your buddy who married rich, you know, like, I mean, it's like, is he a handsome, good husband and father? Like, well,
right place,
know, but,
you know, right place, right
resources.
Time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think if Aaron Rodgers quits at halftime that the Packers are winning this game with Jordan Love, hand-picked successor?
But nobody is.
Well, right. I mean, that's the point, is that Rodgers carries this team. I mean, he's been playing his best football since LaFleur got there. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe LaFleur has inspired him. And if that's the case, then you have to give him all the credit. But I think that Aaron Rodgers deserves a ton of the credit, because if you take him off this football team, what do you think the record is right now? It's not 7-1. It's probably, it's not good. So that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think both of these teams are, both of these teams are playoff bound. and you can see on the YouTube show, 33-7. He has an 82.5 winning percentage in the first 2.5 years of his career. It's not. Now, I think it is also interesting that the number 4 guy on this list, who you didn't mention, George Seifert.
I mentioned him.
Okay, sorry, I didn't hear that. George Seifert, incredible winning percentage, you know, won 80% of his games to start his first 40.
Who's his quarterback?
Yeah, like LaFleur took over this incredible...
Inherited a gold mine from Bill Walsh.
Correct. Now, look.
Well, Don Shula, I believe, when he started, was with the Colts. I think he had Johnny Unitas. That's me trying to rack my old man brain. I think because he started with the Colts. And Chuck Knox, he was before. He must have been before, way before. I'm trying to think who he started with. I don't know that answer.
But I mean, look, when LaFleur came in, everyone was like, oh, are LaFleur and Rodgers going to hate each other? Is it? And we were trying to find drama, and these guys have succeeded. And Aaron Rodgers won the MVP last year and put up a monster campaign. And Matt LaFleur has, you know, with the exception of the NFC title game where Rodgers met him, has generally won him over, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's fair to ask only because – I'm trying to look up who Chuck Knox's quarterback was. I don't even recognize this guy's name. 1973. Because it felt like that Aaron Rodgers didn't go along with anybody. So it wouldn't have mattered unless they brought in Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's, Bernie Lomax, to coach the team. There was going to be some friction. But they seem, I will give Matt LaFleur credit. He doesn't back down from Aaron Rodgers, at least on the sidelines. And maybe Aaron Rodgers appreciates that. We haven't seen Aaron sort of go through the, he's not making faces at Matt LaFleur like he makes at the rookie wide receivers.
Agreed. All right. So what do we think about the top of the NFC? Because I don't think it's necessary to really hash out where do we go from here with the Packers? Where do the Cardinals go from here? If we find out that Aaron Rodgers, if Kyler Murray, if we find out Kyler Murray is hurt, that changes things. But in terms of the NFC, what do we think about these top teams and how they sort out, specifically the top five or maybe six teams?
Before we move on to that, did we talk about what we still haven't talked about what AJ Green was doing? Did we?
Well, he hasn't explained it. We need a coach or someone post game to just throw him under the bus or to say.
I mean, that's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in a football game where the people were over the age of eight.
That's why the Bengals let him walk. That is why the Bengals let him walk.
Do we know who the backup quarterback is without looking for the Cardinals? He came in last week.
No, we don't.
Breach? 3, 2.
He got signed last week, you said?
No, he played last week against the Texans in that beatdown.
No, I don't think I know.
Colt McCoy.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I should have known that. We saw him on DFS earlier.
So anyway, you mentioned what does the NFC look like? I feel like, just looking at the top seven guys, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see all the teams. Green Bay, Arizona, Tampa Bay, Dallas, the Rams, the Saints, and the Vikings are all.
No, don't include the Vikings in that. And maybe.
What do you mean? Why not? I think these are the teams that are going.
Probably. I'm saying let's figure out who is in the, if you're picking out.
Let's rank our top five.
Elite teams. It's not even your top five.
You
can make it two teams. You can make it one team. You can make it six teams. You can do whatever you want.
I'm doing top four.
Who's your elite tier of top five? Who's your elite tier?
Well, like I told you at the top, my Super Bowl picks are still alive, the Bills and the Packers. So just with the NFC, obviously the Packers. I think Arizona's still there, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and I'll stop at those four. The Rams, I'd like, but I don't love. They sometimes don't blow the teams up they should blow out, and sometimes they don't play at the level I expect them to. So I like Dallas a lot. Their defense is probably slightly overrated, but it's still heads and tails. It's leaps and bounds. That's what I was looking for. Better than it was a year ago. Tampa Bay, I'm not betting against Tom Brady. What I learned tonight is Green Bay, you don't bet against them, especially if Devontae Adams isn't playing, because now they're 7-0 without Devontae Adams. And I like the Cardinals if they're healthy. But I think that the overarching story for me is you can't use injuries as an excuse anymore, because the Packers just showed you can win with 3.5 guys.
Yeah. I like your top four, Wilson, but I'm going to go with my top five, hashtag breaches best. That's going to be trending tomorrow on Twitter, I bet.
All right.
I don't even have it in the order of the NFC playoff standings. I am sticking with that Cowboys at number one.
What are you doing?
The Cowboys are my top team. I've been saying it the last few weeks.
I've been saying it for the last year.
Cowboys at one, Packers at two, Buccaneers at three, Cardinals at four, Rams at five. That's okay. My top five.
All right, fair enough.
Doing a top five. See, that's it. But you didn't do the exercise as requested.
What was the exercise as requested?
Who are your elite?
Yeah, those five. Those five teams are making the playoffs.
Well, that's the difference. So for me, I would say it is Tampa Bay, Green Bay. This is going to sound disrespectful, but I don't care. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, the Rams, and Dallas are in the first tier. And now that the Cardinals have won, I can move them down a slight tier. They're in a tier by themselves in the second tier. The Cardinals have let people down before, especially at the end of the year. So I want to see how they respond to this. I want to see how healthy Kyler Murray is. They tanked pretty bad when Kyler Murray got hurt last year.
They were 5-2 last year and they finished 8-8.
Right, exactly. So let's
and this is the exact same thing that happened. Kyler Murray got banged up. Yes. Hashtag breaches best. Kyler Murray got banged up and then they struggled down the stretch. So if this is any sort of, it doesn't even have to be a serious injury. If it's something that hampers him either running or hampers him throwing, then they're in trouble.
Correct. And so the Cardinals have played not a ton of division games. No, Timothy, somebody in YouTube chat says so much disrespect of Arizona. It's done, but it's a little
I think Timothy's right. I think we're, not you, because I still had the number two. I think you might be overreacting to this loss. It wasn't even a bad loss. They lost by 3 points. Granted, the team was undermanned on the other side of the ball, but Aaron Rodgers was still there.
Ryan, can I ask you one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
This reminds me, this is going to be your Browns-Broncos question from a couple Thursday games ago. At any point in this game, after the Packers took the lead, did you think the Packers were going to lose?
No.
Okay.
But that's just the way that Aaron Rodgers came out. Also, one of the things we talk about and some these types of games is that if the Packers are down 14 points at halftime, Aaron Rodgers is going to quit. So maybe that was the pep talk they gave before the game. And Aaron said, listen, if you guys goof off and get it down by two scores, I'm out at halftime. So they're like, all right, we'll play. And, but no, you're right. I didn't feel like that, but they also look, they whooped up on Cleveland, Arizona did 37-14. They beat the Rams by 17 points. They beat the Titans in week one. That was a different Titans team, of course. And they beat the Vikings by 1 point.
Lost on a field goal that the kicker missed from inside 35 yards.
But again, that's like to Brinson's point, the under still hit. I mean, you can't help AJ Green not turning around. It is what it is, but they blew out the other teams, the Browns, the Titans, and the Rams. And that's noteworthy when their only loss is by, what was it, 3 points or whatever?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Maybe the way I'll do it is I'm going to put Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and the Rams
in all the bays.
What's that?
You're just going to ride all the bays?
Bays tier, yeah. Is this called Bayesian game theory?
Classic, so Brinson.
Oh, look at it. You just looked that up. Way to go.
Just off the cuff. I don't even see anything kind of Bayesian. Come on, man. So I'm going to put Tampa. I'm going to change it. I'm going to do Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and the Rams in the top tier by themselves. And the reason I'm including them there is that we have seen all three of those teams in the last, 3 years, advanced to a deep point of the playoffs, right? Like the Rams went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. The Packers have been to back-to-back NFC championship games. The Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to put right below them in a second tier, two really good teams with one loss, the Cowboys and the Cardinals. But I need to, you know, you got to see it, you know, got to validate it. After that, I'm going to have New Orleans in its own tier because I trust Sean Payton and I don't trust Jameis Winston, but they are 4-2 and they have such a leg up on these other teams. And
well, I just Debo just took the graph down, but I defy you to find a team that's going to threaten the Saints for either the sixth or seventh spot.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Saints are definitely going to the playoffs. That's why they're in their own tier.
Yeah.
And then I think basically you can say Minnesota, Carolina, and Minnesota is probably the best team out of, but Minnesota, Carolina, Chicago, Atlanta, or maybe it's Minnesota with New Orleans.
Why are you talking about Carolina?
Well, bring your graphic back up, Debo.
You think, but my point is like, you think they have a chance?
No, not at all.
Oh, but okay.
I mean, by virtue of the numbers they do.
Well, right. As we sit here.
Sure, sure, YouTube comments, so you can't bring it back up. All right. Here's what I'll do. Three teams up top, the Bays plus the Rams. The tier two is the Cowboys and the Cardinals. Tier three is the Vikings and the Saints.
All right, let me ask you this. Just wait a second. Tier one, just on aggregate, what the chances those three teams collectively go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, probably 25% or 30%.
So what's tier two? Because that's the Cardinals and the Cowboys. So two teams that I think should be pretty close to that percentage.
I was aggregating the three together.
Oh no! Like you feel like there's a 75% chance that the Rams go, or the whatchamacallits go, or whoever else is in there.
Oh, of those three teams. Oh, I think it's probably closer to. Okay, so Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, LA. That's right. I think there is a. I mean, if you gave me whatever the odds were for a 50% chance that one of those teams goes, I would absolutely take it.
All right, and what about the Cardinals?
Arizona, Dallas, probably 25 combined.
All right.
I mean, you wouldn't take Arizona and Dallas. You wouldn't take Arizona, Dallas, and New Orleans against Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Rams.
No, of course not.
Exactly.
I'd take the field against those three.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, in that third tier, I'm going to go New Orleans and Minnesota because, in my opinion, this next tier, which is basically is a big glob of teams, Atlanta, Chicago, Carolina. I have to put San Francisco there right now. I think they're better than those other teams, but I don't. Washington, Philly, they're all in this fourth tier where
it's shaped like a turd emoji.
That's right. It's a swirly poop emoji. But like, if one of those teams got hot and just ripped off some wins, all of a sudden they could steal a playoff berth for Minnesota.
There's one team that can get hot. You want to guess?
49ers.
Stop it.
Eagles? Philadelphia Eagles.
I think it's the Falcons. I think that's it.
Falcons, that's fine.
But that's still...
Who did the Falcons just play in the last two games?
I don't know. They beat the Dolphins by the skin of their teeth. I don't know who they played before that.
At this point, I can't remember.
The Jets.
Oh, that's right. In London, right? Was that
in London?
They beat the Jets in London, then beat the Falcons barely.
And then they also beat the Giants. Those are their three wins.
Yeah. I mean, the Panthers.
Breach punted it.
So, this is again, we're live on YouTube. These late night podcasts, we look at questions in the chat. Someone named Gord with a Fozzie Bear emoji.
Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka, waka is asking, who are these three guys? How much college and Pro Bowl coaching experience do they have? Well, Gord, none.
Hold on, but wait. Okay.
Does Breach have coaching experience?
Well, Breach punted in college.
I
played baseball in college. I coached Little League.
I won back-to-back titles with the sorority flag football team in college.
I coached a softball team.
I'm not taking crap from somebody whose avatar is a Fuzzy the Bear emoji. Like, if you want people to take you seriously and you jump into a YouTube chat with a Fozzie Bear emoji, like, who are these guys and what is their...
Yeah, he's just asking a question. He said, you guys, he didn't say these jabronis or these clowns, which he certainly could have said. I'm fine with him asking the question.
I think assertion that any of this twice now.
And we learned that you won sorority flag football competition.
Yeah, that's right, twice. Gord's on the ledger, baby. I especially at Holiday Inn last night, right? Waka, yeah. Waka.
He's good. Thank you, Clarence.
Okay. By the way, hit the like button. Press the like button if you're hanging out in the chat. It takes, less than a second. Just whoop.
Imagine, look at it this way. How lazy must you be to not be willing to lift a finger to hit the like.
Sorry, Gord. I didn't mean to insult you then. I thought, yeah. We have no experience is the answer. Sorry.
And Gord, you have to understand, Brinson takes everything as being a personal affront. And I think it just dates back to his childhood. Whereas Breach and I are willing to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Somebody, hey, Debo, mail Gord a pint glass. anyway.
Okay. So now there's no 150 likes to get a pint glass. It's just insult Brinson. And then when he goes off on you, you get one.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Team Gord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look, man.
I tried to ask it.
I got a little over my skis on that one. All right. We are at, it looks like we're at 115 likes. If we get to 150, yes, I'm very sensitive. Okay. If we get to 150, there's more than 150 people watching the show. So press the like button. I even went to the page and pressed the like button myself to get us there. Cause I want y'all to get stuff. If we can get these giveaways out, then we can get better giveaways.
Yeah. Breach is based on Breach's. Please take the crappy gifts so we can get the good gifts out onto the.
This is a giant pyramid scheme. Exactly. That's what we're running. So hit
1,000 likes. Brinson will come over to your house.
Of course. I thought he's an NC State fan. He's a Green Bay Packers fan. I didn't mean to insult you, Gord. My apologies. Oh my God. We're all hashtag Gord strong.
I know. It's unbelievable. Thank you.
Listening to this audio.
People are going to be so confused right now.
Well, the commenters are coming to Gord's defense because Brinson.
Understandably, Gord, I apologize.
Three weeks from now, the higher ups are going to call Debo and be like, all right, we need you to make a YouTube cut and an audio cut. And you're going to add like 6 hours of work to Debo's life.
That's fine. Oh, look, I see those lights going up. Come on, hit that like button. Let's get a pint glass out. You want to add 6 hours of work to Debo's job? Make him mail a pint glass. So, anything else we want to touch on before we dive into a little overtime? Hashtag Gordstrom.
How many points did the Packers win that game by if Devontae Adams plays? 40?
This is going to sound crazy. I think that Devontae Adams not being there sort of, sometimes this happens where you sort of have to recalibrate how you want to approach a game plan.
He was 6-0, Aaron Rodgers was, without Devontae Adams.
7-0 now.
It definitely adds, it makes the Packers offense gameplay more mysterious because you don't know who Rodgers is going to go to. Yeah, exactly.
So to that point, they did a lot of things differently. In the first half, they targeted, Aaron Jones had 7 targets in the first half, finished with 11 targets, 7 catches, 51 yards, I believe. He could have had 130 receiving yards in that game. He dropped that long one down the thing where Isaiah Simmons made a great play, had another one down the field that was dropped. And they decided to, A.J. Dillon was a big part of this game plan. Like a big part of this game plan. He led the team he led him in rushing yards. I'm pretty sure he led him in rushing attempts, right? Yeah, he had 16 rushing attempts, 78 yards. Jones had 15 rushing attempts, 59 yards. Dylan was, they decided to put Dylan back there, and that was, they had dialed back after he fumbled last week. They dialed back his snap count and they put him in there in this game and said, look, man, you're a second year back. You are, you know, a big part of our team moving forward. We need you to run the ball effectively and to fight. He fought for every yard. They ran end arounds with Amari Rodgers. They used unknown wide receivers. They ran the ball. They ran the play clock all the way down on every single play. And I thought it was a very well executed game plan by Green Bay to go into Arizona to shorten the game. The defense played its tail off and they ran really well. And so that's back to the LaFleur thing. That's good coaching, man.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's hard. You can't tell if he's a bad coach. I just wonder, you know, how good of a coach he is, but whatever his record speaks for itself. And
you are what your record says you are.
As Bill Parcells likes to say. Thank you,
Bruce.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the podcast in a second. We're going to look at the games upcoming.
Oh, quickly. I just saw this. This just came out. Cardinals wide receiver AJ Green announced his retirement in the middle of his route during fourth quarter versus Packers. From Fake Sports Center on Twitter.
Oh, that was fake, but here's a real quote.
Is that the one you wanted Debo to do earlier?
What we were talking about, we didn't get to it.
Here's a real quote from Cliff Kingsbury, really quick on that play. Kingsbury said,
I'm sorry for AJ Green's family.
He was asked about the play call. He said, quote, yeah, I mean, we feel like it's a safe throw. If AJ knew the route to run, it was the right place to go with the ball, just didn't communicate on some level, and then the guy made a good play.
That was just Kingsbury dunking on AJ Green.
Wait a second. He sort of ran the right route. He just didn't turn around.
I mean,
that's the key part of the route. If you're running,
read the first part of the quote again.
I mean, we feel like it's a safe throw if AJ knew the route to run.
I mean, part of the route is inherently turning around to catch the ball.
Well, yeah, that's what Breach just said. I get that part. I mean,
part of the route. That's like arguably the most important part of the route.
The man's been running routes. What year was he drafted? 2012, same as Andy Dalton?
2011.
So he's been running routes.
He was drafted the.
But it's his first year with the Cardinals. So
stop it. He's been running routes for 11.
Still taken in 2011.
He didn't understand the play call, is what I'm saying.
He's been running routes for 11 years.
Him. It's just.
He's actually probably been running it for longer than that. But
11 years
in college, too.
11 years in the NFL.
AJ Green is a good dude who has had to deal with playing in Cincinnati for his entire career. That's a tough spot to be in. No one wants to do that.
He went to the playoffs 50% of the time during his time in Cincinnati.
He's never won a playoff game in his entire
career. Playoff game.
He's probably a Hall of Famer. Doesn't have a playoff win. That's hard to do.
That's absurd.
Well, he's trying to keep that streak going with the way he played at the end of that game.
But I always come back to last year in Joe Burrow's rookie year. And look, man, whatever. If the Bengals franchise tag AJ Green, kind of stuck him in this bad spot, and he wasn't happy about it. Didn't want to get hurt after ripped his leg up at that crappy Dayton field they played on.
I got Brenton to talk about the Bengals.
Good job. But he clearly checked out last year.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
like that was a route. That last route tonight looked like a Bengals.
Except the Bengals were bad last year. This is checking out against the 7-1 team on the final play.
The biggest play of the season. That's all I had. I'm glad to bring that quote in.
But my point was going to be, we'll talk about the MVP. We'll talk about the games coming up for these teams, and then we're going to do overtime, where we hang out and answer any questions you guys might have about. Life, love, football, White Lotus, whatever. I guess that's old now, but you know what I'm saying. You can ask any question in the YouTube chat, drop it in there. We will answer it. Start dropping them now. We'll wrap up this conversation in the podcast, and then we'll do YouTube only answers where we take chat questions. And by the way, keep hitting that like button. Somebody said I get paid by the minute. What are we doing here?
Oh, God. He'd have been retired years ago if that were the case.
Oh, God. I'd be on an island right now. It'd be AJ Greening it on an island, just not looking at anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the Packers, they have coming up on – they're off. What a – the 10-day bye. Sorry, mini bye. They are at the Chiefs. Seahawks at home on November 14th, which we're going to – loosely pencil in Russell Wilson. at the Vikings and Rams at home. Man, that is a brutal five-game stretch starting with tonight before you get to the bye. This is kind of a key win. I mean, they're a good
team.
Wait
a second. The Chiefs, I mean, we keep propping them up.
They're still playing an Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes.
Have you seen the Chiefs defense?
And Russell Wilson, even if he's back, he's going to have...
What's over-under on that Packers-Chiefs game?
70.
I don't know, though. Brinson just pointed out that they're slow moving.
The Packers are actually a perfect team to take down the Chiefs. Are they? They're not favored in Kansas City, are they?
Wait, the Chiefs have lost four times this year.
I mean, would you, if Patrick Mahomes was an underdog at home, would you bet on him or would you take the...
I need to see that. So, I mean, if I'm making, if the wins are Wilson spread, as we sit here right now, is Chiefs minus three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's like Chiefs minus seven or anything.
Oh,
it's
no. Like, I'm trying to,
Packers will run all over Kansas City.
So I don't know if, I mean, you love the Rams more than I do, but that'll be a tough game. But that game's in.
I'm saying that's a Chiefs, Seahawks, Vikings, Rams is not an easy stretch.
All right. So they've already won the Cardinals. So this next four games, I feel like 3-1 happens 70% of the time.
That's a great call. I like that.
All right.
They could definitely go 2-2, but I would bank on 3-1.
I mean, we say it's a hard stretch, but only one of those next four teams are even above 500. So it's like they feel like very winnable games now. Like at the beginning of the season, maybe not, but now they do.
This four game stretch looks a lot easier than it did
even 4 hours ago. Before the Cardinals game, you're like, oh, they're going to lose that game. So now they're really going to have their backs up against it.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they go 3-1 or 4-0 here.
And they'll get
Devonta. Yeah, I guess two are, yeah, the Seahawks and Rams are at home.
They'll have Devonta back. They'll have Lizard Man back. I'm just making
I'm not saying they're going to lose a bunch of games. I'm just saying that's a.
But I mean, I'm just again speculating. I think Tanya might be out for a while, so I don't know how. By the way, that catch that wasn't a catch by Mercedes Lewis, that was amazing. I wish he just got his big feet inbound, his size 19 feet.
That was Ben Gretsch that said, he's like, if somebody catches a ball like that with one arm, with one hand, the rules should change. You should only have to get 1 foot in as well. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
But so the Packers are, they're 7-1. They haven't had their bye yet. If they go to worst case, they go 2-2 in the stretch, right?
Feels like it.
So probably gonna be 9-3. Worst case, going to the bye. You're feeling great about the division. You're feeling great about the NFC. You're in a really good position. So let's look at the Arizona Cardinals. As Debo and I both bring it up, substantially easier, I think, assuming Kyler Murray is healthy. They're at the 49ers.
By the way, Breach made that, not Gretsch. You stole Breach's tweet about the one-handed catch.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry.
No, I looked up both, and Gretsch wrote the exact same thing, and we wrote it at the exact same time, both at 9:32 p.m., like at the exact same instant.
Oh, Breach stole it. Never mind.
It's more likely that Breach stole it and tweeted it.
You're right. I take that back. My bad. All right, here we go.
I mean, this is the exact same.
For plagiarism, Breach, you've been outed for plagiarism on national television.
I just showed you both tweets. I wouldn't have done that if that was the case.
We're going to have to look at some metadata. Sorry.
All right.
Let's finish up the podcast. We'll get to the nonsense afterwards. So for the Cardinals at San Francisco, which I assume Wilson and Breach believe they will win, versus Carolina and at Seattle. Russ should be back for that at Seattle game.
But what's he going to look like is my question. And just because you have a pen taken out of too. Just because you have a pen taken out of your surgically repaired finger, I don't know if you're going to look like the quarterback of old.
Oh my God, look at this.
But that Russell Wilson game is after the Packers game. So that first game back with the pen out will probably be against the Packers, maybe not fully healthy, but then the Cardinals is the next week, so he has another week of recovery time. So I think the Cardinals are going to get the better version of Russell Wilson.
Would agree with that.
Unless he gets beaten to death by the Packers defense.
I mean, I think there's an outside shot. This sounds crazy, but I think there's an outside shot that they go 1-2 here.
There's an outside shot, but I mean, who?
I think 2-1 is probably. I think they'll drop one of those division games on the road. They'll beat the Panthers at home. Panthers are terrible. Assuming full Kyler health, it's probably 2-1, possibly 1-2.
Preach, do you know off the top of your head what the how do the Cardinals usually play against the 49ers? Because I don't. You seem to know those sorts of things.
I do not.
Oh, okay. So sometimes it's a weird sort of matchup.
But I know that Kyle Shanahan does not have a great NFC West record. But I think...
Don't tell Brinson.
I think these two have been pretty even. I mean, they played earlier this year and Cardinals won 17-10.
Yeah, it actually has been pretty even. Going back to 2018, it looks like it is... Three.
I mean, it's not a layup game. That's the point, though.
It's this four is, and three. Going back to 2018, their records are 4-3.
It's on the road. They certainly could lose it.
Lean towards the 49ers. I thought it was one of those things where it was like 8-0 or something.
I think with two division games on the road, if we're assuming Russell Wilson is playing in that Seattle game, I think 2-1 is probably likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after the bye, I mean, there's a bunch of layups outside of the Rams game. And the Colts.
The final three games aren't easy.
Yeah, that's true. And then, but here's the thing. There's
four tough games on that stretch. They're definitely going to the playoffs.
They're definitely going to the playoffs. So
if they don't go to the playoffs, it would be one of the like worst collapses in NFL history.
Let's play devil's avocado for worst case scenario here.
I hate avocados. And you know who else hates avocados? Kyler Murray.
Exactly. Well, let's play devil's Kyler Murray avocado.
They'll get to the bye week with 9 wins. You only need.
Let's say they go 1-2 in those three games. That's not crazy.
Okay. Then you're going to get to 9 wins with the Bears and the Lions.
You're 8-3.
And then you get to 10 wins with the Bears and the Lions by week 15. And then you're in. And at this point.
You're 10-7, which would be really disappointing after 7-0, but still.
But I think not the only thing, but you're not getting home field advantage as the number one seed. As we sit here, you need the Packers to lose some games anyway. So you're sort of playing for second place, literally and you know figuratively. You're playing behind the Packers. So you get into the playoffs at 10 wins, worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And we're not saying that's going to happen with Arizona, just that you know, if Kyler's banged up and...
Disrespectful to Colt McCoy.
All right, it's perfectly respectable. That is the podcast version of the show. Thanks for listening. If you want to hang out with us in overtime live on YouTube, you can do so. YouTube.com/pick6. Hit the like button if you're watching right now. Oh my God. If you're watching on YouTube right now, hit the friggin' like button. We're 6 likes away from a giveaway. Someone can earn a pint glass from this podcast. How dare you, Wilson and Breach, if you hit the like button, go give these people their pint glass.
I've hit it with all 7 of my YouTube accounts.
That is the least surprising thing I've heard tonight, that you have 7 YouTube accounts.
Who doesn't?
Thanks for listening. Come hang out with us on YouTube. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the alarm button. Or the alert button. I guess alarm is a bad word. And we'll see you guys in overtime.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.